Buenos días, buenas tardes, buenas noches, at whatever time you're watching this show. My name is Laura Nowlin, and this is Business Matters. Thank you so much for joining our show today. I would like to thank our sponsors, CS Now Staffing. You can get a hold of them at 702-902-2448. And also a new sponsor that we have for this show and this new awesome stage that we're actually on today, a set, I should say, is Andrea Michelle Munoz. She's a creativa consultant. Okay, and her number is 702-296-6242. Creativa Consulting. So make sure you get a hold of her. She's the one putting all this together, so we have a new look, a new feel. And hey, today we're going to talk to my guest. Her name is Dulce Inzunza. And I actually known Dulce for some time now.
Yes.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. No, I really do appreciate you even making the time. It was really funny when Dunia actually reached out to you and you had said yes. And then she tells me, guess who we're having on the show? And I'm like, oh, I know her. Yes. I was excited.
Yeah, when she reached out to me, I didn't even ask questions. I just connected the two of you. And I was like, oh, this. Of course. I didn't even ask her. How did you know
Laura? Yeah.
Laura, how do you know me? It was just automatic. Yes,
it was meant to be.
Like everything else, every
right.
time I talk to you, it's just meant to be.
Right?
Yes.
The timing, the
yes.
season. So let's start with who's Dulce? Where did Dulce come from? Was she born here in Las Vegas, Nevada?
No, yo soy una inmigrante. Vengo de Mazatlán, Sinaloa. A México. Me vine a Estados Unidos cuando tenía 18 años y pues poco a poco hemos ido avanzando nuestra carrera, aprendiendo uh-huh. Lo que es estar en otro país, otro idioma. Entonces tengo, ya cumplí 30 años en Estados Unidos.
¡Wow!
Ya me puse la edad. Pero, pues, sí, algunas veces he tratado de regresar a México, fíjate, y no, aquí es mi casa.
I remember, I actually, because I follow you, mm-hmm. and so I was seeing you on Facebook that you were going back to Mexico, but then you would end up back here again. When you first came at the age of 18, was it Las Vegas, Nevada, or was it a different state?
No, I first moved to California.
Okay,
yep.
What part?
I lived in 3 different cities. I lived in Long Beach for mm-hmm. a little bit. Then we moved to Seal Beach, and I lived in Dana Point for the last 5 years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then when you got here to Vegas, how many years ago has that been?
Oh, my goodness. 20 plus.
20 yeah. plus years.
Yeah.
And this has been for you now,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Yeah.
So when we first met, I want to say, were you in the insurance industry?
That is
you were
correct.
In something else.
Yes.
And I think you were also teaching English.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So he tratado de buscar una carrera donde yo pueda ayudar a la gente, pero mm. al mismo tiempo ayudar a mi familia.
Right.
Entonces, estaba vendiendo seguros un tiempo, porque es una carrera muy lucrativa, mm-hmm. pero el tiempo y la dedicación que necesitaba en ese momento para mi vida no era la mejor opción. But that's when I met you, when I was doing a lot of networking
yes.
to get mm-hmm. my business going and mm-hmm. to grow my business. And after that, something happened to where I went back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in Mexico for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And life brought me back.
Right,
so
right.
I started all over. But when I came back from Mexico in 2018, I needed a job. I needed to mm-hmm. find something, and I reached out to you. And that's when I was working with you for CS Now.
Yes.
Back then in 2018, which it was the beginning of your business as
right.
well, right?
We started in 2014, but we were still in very new stages because we started also Nevada Hispanic Business Group
yep.
in 2015, which took away a lot of time, energy, resource, funds away from CS Now Staffing because mm-hmm. we actually would, along with Joe Hernandez, we
yeah.
truly did fund the nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, you're right. I probably didn't start truly focusing on my business until, I'm going to say, about 2019. Okay. When I truly started focusing, mm-hmm. and it was like right before COVID.
Yeah.
And then when COVID hit, we actually expanded.
Yeah.
At that time. But yeah, so then we met, you were in that journey. Is that what then got you to where you're at now?
Absolutely,
what happened?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So this is the reason why I wanted to be here today, because you opened the door for me to be in, at that time, recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing led to the other, and that's why I'm here. I went into the human resource industry.
Yes.
And it was a good fit for me.
Good. I can see where you are excelling in the area. You know, there's a difference from a recruiter to HR.
Yes.
It's a different skill set. Recruiters just have different skill sets than HR managers, and I can see where your strengths are in HR. So what is it that you do now? So you're in that position. What's your role and where are you working?
So my title is Team Member Relations Manager.
Okay.
And what we do and what we focus on is the team members.
Okay.
So I work for Station Casinos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I am... can I say the property?
You can say anything you want.
Okay. I am working at Green Valley Ranch.
Okay.
And in Green Valley Ranch, we have about 1,500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to make sure that all of the team members have the answers they're looking for. And that's why I'm there. So the team members can come to us for anything, literally, that's related to their job. Either, mm-hmm. you know, growth, benefits, issues that they might be having either with a coworker or a manager, and we try to help them get through all of that.
No, that's awesome. And so how long now have you been in the HR industry? Has it been since 2018 then?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I went into recruiting with you, mm-hmm. and then I went into a manufacturing company. They hired me because I was a bilingual recruiter.
Yes.
And I stayed with them, and that's where I started getting more into the HR mm-hmm. part of it. So I became a generalist, and I started learning more and more about the HR business. And after being with the manufacturing company, I went to the casino industry. And just, you know, learning every day, either teaching myself new skills or going to take a specific class for the career. And I have to say that I love this career. It's been good to me.
Are you still teaching English?
No.
Or Spanish? No other languages? No. You're not teaching that anymore?
No, not anymore. But I still have the desire to do it. My husband, as you know, he
yes.
recently moved from Mexico. We met when I was there last time. We got married, and he, because of the immigration system and because COVID, it took him 3.5 years to be able to get here. We
wow.
were legally married
wow.
in 2019, and he wasn't able to come to the States until 22. So it took a while.
Right. Can you imagine 3.5 years
yes.
to be able to actually even stay, then move here and be with your wife?
Yes. It was,
that
it
must
was
have been a
lot
challenge.
Of, yes. There was a lot of challenges. There was a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of trust that we had that we have to have with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bureaucracy that we have to kind of go through as well because... you know, the immigration system is broken.
Yes, it is.
And when you're trying to do the things the right way, it just takes longer and more money. And it's just, but we wanted to go the right way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that when he came, there was not going to be any issues. So, yeah, we had to wait 3.5 years.
Yeah, that's a long time to wait. You know, I've been on a roll. I've been interviewing, well, having casual conversations, right, on business matters. And the last four people, you're the fourth one, all immigrants. So have a lot in common because
yeah.
I, too, I'm an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
I was here when I was 3 years old. And I grew up also in California in the Inland Empire area. And I've been here in Vegas for the last 18 years. But I remember being illegal because we came
mm-hmm.
in with a traveling visa,
mm-hmm.
but it expired. We just never went back, right?
Yeah.
I think our immigration system is broken. Workforce, we really... we're lacking good people for good positions. It's no longer you're going to go try to find a good worker in the United States, even pulling them out from a different state, is how can I find them in a different country?
Yeah.
So in 2023, I actually opened up a small little call center in my hometown where I was originally born. Wow. And right now we have 4 people that work with us, answering our phone system, helping us recruit, helping us set up appointments. But the work ethic is so different.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. With so many people getting married now at an older age, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people aren't having babies
yes.
anymore.
My daughter, she's 29 and she doesn't want a baby. I want to be a grandma, and she just says no.
No. So she's not even ready to even get married then.
Yeah, it's the generation, absolutely.
Right. So I already had seen this coming. I mean, you can read. It's like, do you realize we're not going to have enough people, so we're not going to have the right workforce. Mm-hmm. So you being in HR, one of your primary things is to make sure that you retain mm-hmm. who you have.
Correct.
Because yeah. it's a lot more expensive, a lot harder to hire someone new and retrain mm-hmm. instead of saying someone along the way thought you were the best candidate going into the right seat,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
And so maybe you're not in the right seat, but you're the right candidate. So then how do we then move you maybe to a different position
yep.
to retain them? Are you finding, you know, how are you seeing right now working where you work and in the position you're in?
How am I seeing those moves happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. It's difficult because, like you mentioned, the new generation, they come with new struggles and new ideas as well, that what is like to be in the workforce, right? So it is a challenge to navigate through the different generations mm-hmm. because we have people working there. There are, you know, anywhere from 18, well, actually 16, all the way up to, I don't know, 90. I don't know how old is our oldest team member, but
right.
Every generation has different ideas of what the workforce should provide for them
mm-hmm.
and what they can bring to the table. But at the end of the day, we all have a job to do. And so we have to focus on that. Like, what is the exact job duties that this team member in that position has to do, and is this person a good fit for that? If not, let's find the job description that will best fit. So yeah, it is a challenge to have to navigate through that, but I find it fun. Challenges are fun for me.
right. And so you're just trying to see how you're going to be able to retain them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I found is, and I'm going to say this is years ago, I'm going to say probably about, because I've been in the staffing industry for the last 18 years here in Las Vegas, in about 2014, 2015, I started seeing the workforce as they were coming in for us to interview them, like if we owed them something,
yeah.
like a really heavy entitlement.
I say that word all the time.
Right?
Yes, because the company doesn't owe you anything.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter which company.
Mm-hmm.
The company doesn't owe you anything. And you're there to provide a job. And you're
service.
There, you know, the company does need to treat you with respect, with mm-hmm. kindness, with and give you all the tools to be successful. But they don't owe you anything. And a lot of people come in with that mentality that, well, I work here and I deserve this. And no, you don't. You need to earn it, right?
We
need to earn our things, and a lot of people have a hard time believing that or thinking that they have to earn something. They just think that it's just got to be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult.
No, it is. And I started seeing that the school system was really hurting our youth because they were coming out with like an expectancy. I'm like, where are you guys getting this stuff from? And so that's when I remember launching the youth program through Nevada Hispanic Business Group, because I said, if I can at least change one kid out there, one youth, it's going to be a success story, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were able to graduate like about 10 out of that program. But I'm like, how do we make the shift? How do we fix whatever is going on out there, right? And then COVID hits, minimum wage goes up. I'm like, that cookie that we used to make for a dollar, right? And that's what it costed us to make in order for us to make a profit. We were selling it for a dollar. But now we gave everybody an increase. Well, that dollar for the cookie?
It's not longer.
Now it's $5 to produce that cookie and profit from it. Mm-hmm. So did we really help anybody?
Yeah.
Because a person now is paying $5 for a cookie instead of a dollar for a cookie.
Yeah. So it's funny that people don't understand where inflation comes from.
They don't understand basic economics. Yeah. You shouldn't be running for a position if you don't know basic economics. What goes up must come down. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm no expert, don't get me wrong, but I have just the general knowledge of, you know, we have inflation because we do have the increases in mm-hmm. wages. We mm-hmm. have the people that were in office, that they're still in office, that we're not having any type of control with any of that. So, again, I'm no expert, but I know that we're in deep trouble right now.
Yes, we are. And you think that you are really helping the low-income community. You actually really hurt them.
Well, I consider myself middle income. And every year that has passed in the last year, I'm leaning more towards the low income mm-hmm. because I'm making the same amount of money that I was making 2 or 3 years ago, but everything else has gone up.
Yes.
So my income, it's not keeping up with inflation. So that makes me struggle
right.
when I didn't have to before. So, and now we have two incomes. Now that my husband's here, mm-hmm. we have two incomes, and it's still, it's difficult to be in the middle class. Because when you're in the lower class, there is assistance that you can go for. Mm-hmm. I don't qualify for any of that. So we just have to make it work.
Right, but right.
It's difficult.
And so that was the big shift that we had with the increases in pay wages. But then we also had COVID, mm-hmm. which messed things up even more because you had people working or
not working.
You had people at home but still getting paid like if they were working. Mm-hmm. And so then you had maybe the $9 worker that was minimum wage now making $18 an hour.
Yep.
They chose not to study or do something to improve the skill. So now you went from $9 to $12, but $12 isn't enough. They want $18, but they don't have a skill.
Skills.
Mm-hmm. So then how do you place them?
Yeah. Well, they're going to be replaced with automatization, right?
Right, AI.
Yeah.
AI is here to stay. It's not going away. It's going to continue growing and moving. And it makes it more difficult now to get that person out to work because they don't have a skill, the right skill. There's a big skill gap. And so now you have a big disconnect from the employer to the employee.
Mm-hmm.
A huge disconnect still,
mm-hmm.
right? And, I want to work remotely from home.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
How are you going to, you know, let's say you're a
production.
Yeah, you're a production. How are you going to do the production line from home? You can't.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. So were you already at the job that you have now during COVID?
I was in the manufacturing company.
Okay,
and
at that time.
I'm going to say that I was one of the lucky ones because our job was considered essential, so we didn't get laid off. But I didn't qualify for all those extra benefits that people were getting because I was working, so I wasn't laid off, so I couldn't apply for unemployment like everybody else was.
Right.
So I was a little resentful during that time because I was still just making my regular wages and people were taking vacations and going out spending all this money. Like you said, instead of putting that money, that time to learn a new skill, right?
Right.
They thought it was just free money that I can just mm-hmm. go play with.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on down, we're sitting here in 2024 and people are looking around like, what the heck happened? Well,
right.
What happened is that we didn't use that time and money efficiently. But during that time, I was with the manufacturing company. And I can tell you now, because I deal a lot with unemployment, that a lot of people were working and applying for unemployment so they could get that fat check. And unemployment is catching up to them now.
Right.
So I'm afraid that that's going to happen to a lot of people. I don't think in the manufacturing we're the only ones doing that. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of people that, because it was so much that they couldn't really control the people that were applying, they were just giving them the money without checking. And so now they're going back to see, like, hey, wait a minute. And I know a couple of people, a couple of cases to where unemployment is knocking on the door saying, hey, pay me back.
Exactly. Because you're a bad actor. Mm-hmm. And it was sad because there were so many people that truly were unemployed and needed the money. And the case, you couldn't get to their case fast enough because the system was just like totally saturated. But let's go back to essential workers. Everybody's essential. But you're right. We were also classified as essential being a staffing firm. And I will tell you that I'm not the type of person to roll over and play dead. In the state of Nevada, our governor at that time chose to close down our state. So even though I was classified as essential,
there was no work.
So I couldn't send the people to work. So where did I send them? I go, well, we're going to go to my church where we have a food distribution bank on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's where we're going to work, help feed the people, because the lines were so long. That at that time it was Mayor John Lee in the north side, and that's where the church was located. And so he sent his police department to come in and help us control traffic because there was so many people coming to us. The Trump administration, his family, literally would send boxes of food to the churches so that way we could feed the people. And it was all healthy food. It was chicken. It was like I had never seen that much good food go through our food distribution bank.
Wow.
So it was truly everyone as Americans coming together and say, how are we going to stay afloat? Because there's no such thing of closing down a country.
Of course, there's no such thing.
Yeah, we got to keep going. There's just be people like you and I who are going to say, I can't roll over and play dead. Mm-hmm. Where do you need me? How do I move? How do I go and help our community, right? We were one of the churches that actually didn't get closed down.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Calvary Chapel, Meadow Mesa.
Yeah.
The Calvary Chapels literally had a lawsuit against the state because they were closed down, but not our church couldn't be included in it because Mayor John Lee at the time kept our doors open. He's like, I'm controlling the city here, and our people need it. There were people in Ferraris, nice, nice vehicles. There was no shame.
Going to the food bank, yeah.
Going to the food bank. We had to figure out how we were going to feed our community.
Mm-hmm.
I will also tell you that at that same time, I'm like, I've got to go to another state. I've got to figure this out because how am I going to bring money back to Nevada? Because if not, I'm going to end up completely closing down. How do I keep my people working? So I went to Texas based on prayer. I ended up in Irving, Texas. And after being there for 30 days, I landed a national account in logistics. Okay.
Amazing.
Yep. And so my orders were coming in for 50, 60 people. They're like, we can't get anybody to come in. And so I'm like, okay,
during COVID still.
During COVID.
Oh,
this
wow.
is during COVID. Let me tell you, we never worked this hard in our lives.
That's
our
amazing.
Family worked like crazy because we're a family business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in Irving, Texas, when we landed that account in Garland, Texas, we were filling all the orders, and they said, you did such a good job. Can you do this also in Plainfield, Indiana? So within 3 months, I was in Plainfield, Indiana, doing the same thing. And they're like, you did such a good job here. We're now going to open up a facility in Phoenix, Arizona, because we got to move product.
Yeah.
Right? And so we went and opened up a brand new facility in Phoenix, Arizona. But
that's amazing.
I agree with you. We were working like crazy.
Yeah.
At the end, I'm like, when can I take a vacation?
Yeah.
Right? Is that how you felt? You're like, everybody else is on vacation. What about us?
I know. Yes. Yes. We worked extra hard during that time because, again, we were considered essential. So there was all of our team members were working overtime. Everybody was making a lot of money because they had to. So That was a good part. The bad part is that we're all working hard.
Working very hard and making up for the people that refused to go to work.
Yeah. I had a few people actually just resign so they could collect the unemployment, too. So they didn't want to work, and they're like, oh, I don't care. If you guys are open, I don't want to work. And, you know, it happened. There's those people that just don't want to put the work and the effort in. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the ethic, you know.
Right, like the good work ethic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what else would you like to share with maybe even an entrepreneur? Because you owned your own business at one time. Yeah. I mean, you were doing insurance.
I've done everything.
Right, you've done a lot of things. Yes. So what would you share with our audience, you know, any words of encouragement of when you're wanting to start your business? Because sometimes you start it and you're like, yeah. I think I'm better off of being an employee.
You know what? The hardest thing for me to stay with owning my own business and being an entrepreneur was not having the support system. That's key to me because I'm an immigrant, right? And I came to this country by myself. I don't have any family here. All my family is back in Mexico. So whenever I try to do something, you know, I was a single mom too. So
right.
I have my little girl that I had to provide for and take care of, but at the same time I wanted to start a business with no resource, with no support system. And I just had to find people like you that was willing to give me a hand or to teach me or to guide me. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest hurdle for me. So when you find a support system, stay with it and keep it and find a mentor and find somebody that's been there and it's doing what you want to do so you can stick with it. Because for me, that was the biggest hurdle. It was just finding the support, finding the resources, and knowing where to go without in the smallest amount of time, right? Because I had to provide for my baby girl.
Right.
So, the support system is key, essential. I mean, obviously, you need to have the desire to drive, and you gotta be a little crazy to be doing things on your own.
Yes, as an entrepreneur, you gotta get paid.
Exactly.
You have to make sure you keep the lights on. And there's times that you know you're going into seasons and you're trying to figure out how am I gonna meet payroll. Yeah. How am I going to do it, right? I always say make sure that your why is strong enough that's going to keep you going when you're down on your knees saying, how am I going to pay these bills?
Yeah.
How am I going to meet payroll, right? Yeah. If your why isn't strong enough, you're going to bust.
Yeah.
You're going to bust, yeah.
Absolutely. You have to keep with that and be a little crazy and believe in yourself more than anybody else, right? Because there's always that, what they call them, the la gente negativa.
The negative people,
Nancy nagging Nancy, I don't know what it is. Nagging people, that's the word I was looking for.
Nagging.
There's always the people that are going to try to break you down and tell you, no, you can't do that, or why are you thinking, or you're an immigrant, and you shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. You're a lady, you're a woman, because I had I was told that, like, well, you're a girl, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that. You're going to have that. So you need to believe in yourself and believe that you are able to do all those things.
Yeah. What were the steps that you took to decide that HR was your right seat, your right role, right? And I say seat because our company uses the Entrepreneur Operating System, the EOS system, and we talk about putting the person in the right seat.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember taking that test. And so the right steps that I took, I think it was going in from that test that I took in your when I first came back from Mexico. That gave me the clear picture of who I was.
Okay.
Right? And that gave me the foundation of where I want to be or where I want to go. So I knew I was good with people. Mm-hmm. I knew I was good with problem solving. Mm-hmm. And so I just needed to get there. And it was a step at a time. You know, I started with you as a recruiter, and it was not easy. But then I went into recruiting / generalist, and mm-hmm. I started just learning, and I learned fast.
Did you take any courses?
I did. Yeah, I took labor relations courses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have taken a couple of HR related courses. Yeah.
Did you join any type of groups that helped you in that area?
I have not. Okay. I was part of the Hispanic Chamber.
Yes,
but I went out of that, so I have not been involved with any groups as of right now.
Okay. And then the company that you represent, you're with Station Casinos. Mm-hmm. If someone were looking to work at Station Casinos, what do you recommend that they do?
So the best way to see what's open, mm-hmm. Station Casinos has a lot of different properties.
Yes.
And one probably is near wherever you live, right? Mm-hmm. So the best way to look is to go into the website, Station Casinos Careers, .com, and then see which property you want to go to, and then see what opportunities are available at that property.
Awesome. Well, in closing, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience?
No, just thank you. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I didn't ask any questions. I just came because it was you, and I'm very grateful for you. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for being part of my journey. And yes. CS Now staffing journey. I really do appreciate that.
You're definitely somebody to look up to.
Oh, thank you. Well, once again, we had Dulce Inzunza. I had it right the first time.
Hey,
it's not a very common. Right, it's not a very common last name. Though.
It's not. Yeah.
Well, thank you, my friend, for being on here. And to the next time, tune in again for Business Matters.